The poet Charles Bukowski made a prediction before he died.
I think my writing is really pretty powerful stuff. But I think after I'm dead and safe, they're going to trot me out. I'm going to really be discovered, you know. Bukowski, it's going to be sickening.
Bukowski grew famous long before his death in 1994. Millions of people read his poems and stories about living in slums, working dead-end jobs, and haunting bars in Los Angeles. But his prediction of posthumous fame came true, partly because he made sure that it would. Charles Bukowski left behind hundreds of poems, which are being published under the direction of his longtime editor. The latest book is called Slouching Toward Nirvana. Editor John Martin is 74 years old now and still remembers when he met the little-known poet.
I ran across his work in underground mimeograph magazines and underground tabloids in the 60s. And you do run across brilliant stories and poems from time to time reading that kind of material, but here was this one man who everything he wrote seemed to me to be brilliant. And he was in the phone book, and I called him up to tell him how wonderful his writing was, and we got together and talked, and the idea came to me to start a publishing company to publish him. I mean, he's a great American poet. I consider him the 20th century Whitman.
I'd like to get you to read a poem that may not be directly autobiographical, but it certainly seems to suggest the kind of life that Charles Bukowski led in his earlier days, and the kind of jobs that he worked.
Making do. Once, on this ball-busting job, I asked the worker next to me, "How do you know we haven't died and gone to hell?" He didn't reply. He thought I was crazy to imagine we might have gone to hell. The fact was, he was not in hell. I was. I mean, it's very funny. I mean, Bukowski, if he had, you know, he had this terrible childhood. Parents who didn't understand him, who never once pushed him in the right direction. But, I mean, he has such a wonderful sense of pace and timing and dialogue and humor. I mean, thank God he didn't go that way. But, I mean, he could have ended up as a highly paid scriptwriter or something like that. I mean, he just has that knack.
It seems that the reservation of the critics about Bukowski is that the poetry seems visceral but not necessarily processed, if that makes any sense. When I look through here, some of these poems are brilliant. They make me laugh out loud. They're so surprising. A few of them do seem like rough drafts, like he wrote them once, he sent them away, never thought about them again, a review of a movie he saw on television, things like that.
I can respond this way to that. Most of the time, if not all of the time, a poem that somebody really loved, that they said had turned their life around, somebody else would say, "Why did you put that in there? It's not a good poem." There's no such thing as reaching out to everything with one kind of poem or story or novel. Different people just respond to different things.
So I'm just curious, I mean, over the years you worked with him in all these books. How did that work exactly? What would he do? What would you do in response? How did you go back and forth?
He would send me everything he wrote as he wrote it, which meant I would get two or three envelopes with material every week. And then it was up to me to make the books, to sort out the poems, put them in order, make up a manuscript, send it to him, get his okay, and then go ahead with it.
You said two or three envelopes a week. Each one would have multiple poems in it?
Yeah, two, three, four poems in each envelope. And if he was writing a novel, each envelope would have a chapter.
Did you ever send him a letter back and say, you know, this is a beautiful poem, but it'd be even better if you just changed that one word, that one phrase?
No. I mean, look, you're dealing with somebody who you really respect and think is great. And in fact, a few times I would step in like that and make a change, and every time later I saw what I had done was not as good as what I'd changed. Every time.
Would you mind reading for me on page 168 the first verse of a poem called "I Don't Know About You, But..."
Okay. "I don't know about you, but when I had rats in my room, then there were no mice. And when I had mice, then there were no roaches. And no matter where I lived, with one exception, All the other rooms seemed to have decent working people living in them, and they were very quiet and polite. Too often I was the only madman there, behind in my rent, depressed and alone, wondering how I got to where I was. I figured it was my father's fault. It sure as hell couldn't be mine, as those landladies terrorized me, bumping their vacuum cleaners against my door as I lay sweating on the bed. Once in a while I'd get out and around and luck into a bit of money, but then always it was back to the room again, alone and depressed again, the shades down, hiding out like some mole-like creature.
In this book, Slouching Toward Nirvana, when were these poems written?
Oh, some of them were written in the 60s.
And some of them more recently?
And some of them were written just before he died. Over the years, starting about late 60s, whenever he wrote a poem that he really liked, he'd put a little star up in the right-hand corner. And whenever I would read a poem that I really liked, I'd put a little red check. And those he called his death poems, because he wanted them published after he was dead. And it's kind of amusing, you know, there's a lot of sports analogies in his work. He would say that after he was gone, it still wouldn't help the guys who wanted his position in center field, who were still down in the minors, because they just have to stay there until he and I finished all of his books after he was gone.
John Martin is the editor of Slouching Toward Nirvana, a posthumously published book of poems from Charles Bukowski.
The pattern of my life forms like a cheap shadow on the wall before me. My love, what is left of it, now must crawl to wherever it can crawl. The strongest know that death is final, and the happiest are those gifted with the shortest journey.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Stephen Skeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.